You know, I really, Larry was about my second boss in public health right after I graduated from public health school, and we worked together on the tobacco control, and Gene Noodleman worked with us later at the prevention program at Contra Costa Health Department. So it's really kind of thrilling now, 30 years later, I think, to be here with him talking about prevention. He's developed the Prevention Institute and really has directed that for a number of years, setting the standard really for the country. And our work is really complementary with the work that's going on at the Prevention Institute. And so I think this next presentation, you'll just see the segue right into it. So I'm with Change Lab Solutions. We're a multidisciplinary team of lawyers, urban planners, transportation specialists, architects, communications folks. I want to just say a couple of things. Our strategic plan, which we just finished a couple of months ago, is all wrapped around the National Prevention Strategy. Everything we'll be doing for the next 5 years has to do with, we're still using the term, at least in this, with health in all policies, but I agree it's a problematic term. And I've brought some workshop and training catalogs. If you know anyone who'd like to get trained in some of the specifics I'll talk about today, we're glad to do that. Okay, let's jump in. I'm going to talk really fast. I have 10 minutes. Just to tell, because I'm on the panel here with somebody from CDC, there's all sorts of worries about lobbying with federal dollars. I'm not here on federal dollars. I get paid by federal dollars who work very closely with CDC. This is not lobbying. I'm going to be talking lots about policy. I'm going to be educating. Maybe there's some elected officials in the audience, and I'll be educating you about policy options. That is not lobbying. I'm going to show a whole bunch of slides just getting the flavor for the inequities, just exactly what Larry was saying, that if the environment in which people live, and I'm sure everyone in this room as social workers are completely familiar with this, what's the environment that shapes the health outcomes? Too many liquor stores, way too much fast food. In California, a study was done by the California Center for Public Health Advocacy, 4 times as many fast food as healthy food restaurants in low-income communities. Sidewalks that are basically unusable. Can you imagine being a disabled person or an elderly person going down this sidewalk? Or how about this? No sidewalks whatsoever, heavy traffic, freeways going almost invariably right through low-income neighborhoods, causing asthma, injury, all sorts of health problems. Dilapidated housing, abandoned yards. Generally, lots more garbage in them than this. This could be a community garden. Schools that are closed and abandoned. That's a tennis court or a basketball court right in front, completely inaccessible and an eyesore. This is a rural community. It's not just urban centers. And, of course, who's exposed to the most tobacco smoke in the country? It's mental health patients are the highest smokers. Low-income, less educated individuals are basically the only populations that smoke in a regular basis in this country. So public policy can reverse all of these. And what I was asked to do is just talk about built environment strategies, and I'll give just an example of those. Supermarket proximity is associated with better diet. Limited access to fast food for school children is associated with a better diet. Sidewalks and nearby destinations, what we call complete streets, are associated with more physical activity. And access to recreational facilities on weekends is associated with lower teen obesity rates. To make any of these changes, this is just a smattering of some of the possibilities, public policy must play a major role. These don't happen by accident in most communities. There are policy choices behind them. And so the health in all policies concept is how do we basically deputize all these different agencies. Corinne talked about the 17 agencies. I could have 17 different kinds of agencies around this picture. How do we deputize them? The health departments will fail if we try to do it by ourselves. We don't have the authority. We don't have the money to do this. We must work with across our boundaries in a multidisciplinary way to get redevelopment agencies, housing agencies, transportation, economic development all bought into the concept that what they do has profound impact on the health of the community. They are not separated from that. So I'll just talk briefly about the strategies that are available. Land use and zoning is absolutely essential for deciding where we're going to have schools placed in neighborhoods, where we're going to put housing. Are we going to put it close to transit-oriented development, or are we going to allow suburban sprawl that just bleeds resources from core cities and adds to infrastructure costs that are unsustainable? These are all land use and planning decisions. Redevelopment agencies, we don't have them anymore in California, at least not right now, but most communities do, and that they've been notorious in years past for urban renewal having been the Negro removal and just bulldozing neighborhoods. But they can be the most powerful economic engine for revitalization of communities. They're sitting on millions and millions, if not billions of dollars, totally dedicated to building infrastructure in low-income communities that have signs of blight. And let me just say, when we had redevelopment agencies in California last year, one of the redevelopment agency law was in the health and safety code, and one of the definitions of blight was lack of access to grocery stores. So the very issues that we're talking about, redevelopment agencies in most states have the authority to finance changes to those very blight conditions. Building new affordable housing. This does not happen by accident. This is, and in most communities there and most states have a requirement to plan for low-income housing but not actually build it. So, again, that's a public policy choice to not require it being built. And one of the reasons why redevelopment was taken away in this state is they're sitting on billions of dollars for low-income housing and not building it and wasting those public resources. That has to change when we redesign redevelopment in this state and require the building of low-income housing that's near transportation, that's near jobs, that's near the amenities for everyday life like grocery stores and schools and libraries and playgrounds. Support mixed-use development, connect people to transit services, the concept of transit-oriented development. To build complete streets, you'll see a street here where if you're elderly, you can be in a wheelchair and have crosswalks. When I gave birth and had a stroller, a baby stroller, I loved the Americans for Disabilities Act because I could get up and down and into anywhere I want with that stroller. Same thing for new parents. There's bike lanes, there's mass transit, there's cars too. But it also has an urban center with shopping and housing all connected with each other. And we know that obesity rates are lowered, social isolation is lowered, social cohesion is increased. All of the variables, if anybody saw the New York Times article in the magazine section on Sunday about this Greek island, I forget the name of it, the variable that people are tending to live well into their 90s is the social cohesion between the community. And we have lost that, particularly with the concept of suburban sprawl and concentrated poverty and violence in neighborhoods, but we can change that through public policy tools. Planning for farmers markets. Fresno, California, the lowest income community in the country, until about 5 years ago, could not have a farmer's market because in their zoning code, there was no definition for one. If it wasn't defined in the law, you couldn't have it. That changed. Mobile markets, if we can't get built stores, we can bring New York City is particularly moving this forward, Los Angeles, many other communities are following suit. Transportation and public work agencies, we've got to be working with them to ensure there's sidewalks, that there's attractive and safe pedestrian facilities. This is not the job of the health department, it's the job of transportation and public works. Here's a sidewalk or a crosswalk being put in for a safe routes to school campaign in one community. This is the public works agency using CBDG dollars. Improving the streetscape, it's going to be increasingly important with climate change, that we have shaded walkways and pleasant places for us to walk. Park and rec departments, opening up play space, either in this is a pocket park in a low-income community where now the dad and children can go and play. Opening up school playgrounds for after-school hours, joint use agreements. Again, this is all public policy that makes this happen. It does not happen otherwise. Urban agriculture, Portland, Chicago, Seattle, many communities here in San Francisco really embracing urban agriculture to bring food directly into neighborhoods or directly into backyards. Many communities do not allow this by law. That has to change. Economic development agencies are core to bringing healthy foods. They can be the economic vehicle for bringing healthy foods into low-income communities. They can attract new food stores, put up the financing for that. They can improve the corner stores. I know there's many workshops here about that, and we can get the junk food out and healthy foods in. I want to just show this slide because it's the WIC slide, where you have to have certain amount of healthy foods in the WIC food basket. We could say that if you're a food stamp provider, you have to have a WIC food basket in your store. We don't say that now. You can be primarily a liquor store and a junk food store and reap thousands and thousands of dollars from SNAP food stamps. But we could say through public policy, and I would put this out as a solution, beginning part of a solution, that if you are going to get the public benefit of the SNAP dollars, you must have healthy foods for sale. You must be the equivalent of a WIC vendor in your community. I'm going to end there just to say that on our website, changelabsolutions.org, we have public policy tools for everything that I showed, model policies, how-to toolkits, kind of soup to nuts for everything that I showed and much, much more. So you're not alone in this. You've got backup and support. I encourage you to download whatever you need. Give us a call for technical assistance. I have training catalogs. If you want to bring any of these resources or others into your community, I'd be glad to talk with you afterwards. Thank you.